right, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Kind of happy I'm going early in the rotation because I didn't want to be the guy that came to a meeting on standing and be the guy that preaches an outline from Ephesians chapter 6 and then be in competition with four other guys that are preaching from Ephesians chapter 6 far better than I can. So I'll get this one out of the way first, but Ephesians chapter 6, man, I love this meeting. This meeting has been such a help to me over the years, and it's a blessing to see folks that have come over the years and I see you again, and then new faces and folks, hey, I've never been here before, been trying to get down. The Lord finally opens the door for you to get here, and I hope that you get something from the meeting for sure. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll go ahead and start reading in verse number 10. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." Father, again, we thank you for letting us be here. Pray you bless this time now, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here we see a command to Christians to stand. And of course, the theme of the meeting is to stand. And I've also seen that there's a warning given to standing. If you would keep your hand here, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 as diving in something. I mean, everybody has been told, oh, you got to stand up for the Lord. It's almost one of those like Christian cliches, right? You stand up for the Lord. You know, make a stand, take a stand, take a stand. What does that mean? I think it's hard sometimes as Christians because we get caught up in cliches and then we don't understand that folks sometimes get it all muddled in their head. What does that mean? Well, I know this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. He gives a little bit more light on the subject, and that's in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." So we're commanded to stand, but if my Bible's right, it tells me that there's also a possibility that you can think you're standing, but you're actually getting ready to fall. How dangerous could that be? That you think that you're standing, you think that you're there, you think that you've got it all figured out and you're doing exactly what you think you're supposed to do, but the Bible says you need to take heed because you can fall. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up on a dairy farm in upstate New York. You know what I found out? Everybody loves milk. Because you love milk, you love cheese. Everybody here loves dairy. If you can't eat dairy, that's because, the Lord doesn't like you. And you're getting persecuted or something. But everybody loves milk. You go, hey, you're in a pandemic when you go to the store and there's no milk. You know, and you're like, oh man, something really bad's happening. You know, the cows aren't getting milk. There's something wrong. And, but a lot of times, you know, we look at that and we see the product of what cows give us. And I've heard Brother Knowles talk about how cows the greatest animal on earth. I believe it. I'll stand with you on that. Amen. And we look at something like milk and we say it's a product. You know what? I've seen the back end of that product. not that end. For some reason, there's always some kind of bathroom connotation at this meeting at some point in time. Why is that an ongoing thread of theme here? I don't understand. But you know what? There's a whole lot that goes into that gallon of milk that you get at the store. It's waking up at 4:30 every morning, right? It's getting into the barn and you got a cow that's ready to have a calf and she's calving and you know you got to get out there and you know what you do? You become a doctor and you bring that calf into the world. When we were having kids, my wife, I said, "Don't worry, baby, I've delivered hundreds of cows. I am experienced." She looked at me, "I'm not a cow." I said, "I wasn't trying to say you were a cow. I'm sorry." But I could see how she took it the wrong way. I was trying to comfort her. You know what you do? You take that calf and from just a young calf, when it's still kind of was like trying to get its sea legs, you know, you take that bottle and you go to that mama cow and you put the milkers on her and you milk that colostrum into a special tub and then you take that colostrum, you pour it out into a bottle and you go to that calf and you stick your little finger in its mouth, you know, and it's, you know, and then you stick the bottle in its mouth and you start to getting it, drink it on a bottle. And then as it grows up a little bit more, he goes into the calf barn, she goes into the calf barn, and you get a pail, and you start to make some of the formula, and you mix it up, and then you know, try to get them to drink out of the pail. You make sure that they're fed, and you go there 4:30 every morning, 5 o'clock every night. I know men to this day that have never been 60 miles outside of their home because they milk cows 4 o'clock in the morning. And 5 o'clock at night, twice a day, every day, for their whole life. Right? And so much, we look and we say, here's a gallon of milk, right? That's the product of something much greater. And on the topic of standing, what we find in Ephesians chapter 6 is, yes, there's a command to stand. But there's also so much more that goes on before somebody can stand. Standing is a byproduct. Okay? It's a byproduct of other things that have to first come to fruition in your life. If we can get technical for just a second, the book of Ephesians can be easily broken up into a couple different sections. You have a doctrinal section in chapters 1 through 3, and then it goes into a practical section. And it breaks down into two portions of the practical. From chapter number 4 all the way to chapter number 6 in verse 9, you have a practical about a practical application of how a Christian should conduct themselves. And then, of course, you have his standing against the enemy in chapter number 6, verses 10 to the end of the chapter. And what you find here, if you look as he starts to talk about standing, he first says this in verse number 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We see that you need strength to stand. Standing's not just something that you do. I'm gonna get saved and I'm gonna stand for Jesus. You're gonna fall. You're gonna fall if you think that you're just gonna get in this thing and start standing for the Lord. You know what? You may stand for a minute, but what happens when your strength fails? See, there's a position of strength. In the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, we see the doctrinal implications of salvation. And what is that? In verse, in chapter number 2, in verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is your position of strength if you're going to stand? You got to first learn how to sit down. You have to learn how to rest in your standing or your position in Jesus Christ. You can't trust your knowledge to give you strength to stand. You can't trust your abilities to give you strength to stand. Some of you in here are great. You have so much talent and you have abilities that God's given you. That doesn't guarantee you're going to stand. You need strength. And strength is not derived by you doing anything. Strength is derived by you simply resting in what Jesus Christ has already done. You have all the power you're going to get. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Listen, I couldn't get any closer to Him if I wanted to. The problem is we have unclaimed territory, as was preached already. Yeah. Amen. And we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, this position, as was already preached on Sunday night by Dr. Peacock, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. A seated position is not what you would think of as a strong position. Unless you're a Christian. Unless you're sitting and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ and looking to Him to strengthen you. You know what? You ever listen to somebody talk about folks, lifeguards and that kind of thing? Somebody who's drowning, you know what they tell you? You can't help that person if they're flailing around. And the reason you can is because in their fear and in their anxiety and in their distress, they will wrap themselves around you and you'll both sink to the bottom and you'll both die. You want to know what the problem is with some of us? And I include myself in that. Is that our position of strength should make us rest. It should give us peace. And a lot of times we find ourselves frustrated and fearful. That affects the way you stand. It affects the way you stand. Naturally, we feel like we have to do something in order to attain strength. That's what we feel. I mean, some folks in here, I know I'm not just talking to one or two. I'm talking to a lot of folks. You're frustrated here this morning. And the reason you're frustrated is because you're doing everything that you can possibly do, but you don't feel any stronger for doing it. One of the most frustrating things in the world is if you start lifting weights and try to get stronger and, you know, trying to power lift and, you know, you're wanting to deadlift 800 and all that stuff and have all these great goals. And then you realize that you can only deadlift 300 pounds. But you want to deadlift 800. And so what you do is you start doing your training, you know, everything else. And then you get to that, you know, you get like your 6-week program and you do your 80% and you do your 20% and you do your dynamic effort days and max effort days and all this different stuff. And then you get to that, you know, end of the 6 weeks, and you're like, okay, it's time to max again. Probably going to be at 800. Right? But the problem is you can still only deadlift 300. You know what's really frustrating about that is you're putting all this effort in and you're not seeing any results. I say maybe you're just not resting. Maybe you're in a position where you're not as strong as you think you are. Maybe it's your position that's wrong. And you know what happens when you get frustrated and you see that there's no results? Fear starts to set in. And when fear enters the equation, you start to act out of character. And then you start to go to outside sources and trying to tap in to get strength from somewhere else. You want to know why folks are addicted to social media and why folks are addicted to the news and why folks are addicted to all this stuff? Because you know what you've learned in the last couple of years? You don't have any control over this thing. And so you feel like you're at a position of weakness. And you're not in control and you're weak. And so what do? We look for the acceptance of other people. I wonder if they like this. I wonder if they're watching me. I wonder if I can get some accolades or a pat on the back or something because I'm not getting it from God. And I'm trying to tap into another strength source. You know, and you're whatever news channel you follow, and I'm not getting political, I'm just saying there's an epidemic right now, and it's not of a virus. It's of folks hinging their lives based on some talking head in a television screen. Because your day is dictated by whether or not they have something quote-unquote good to say or not. You know what the problem is? One of the most Googled things last year was just good news. That's what folks are looking for. They get on Google and say, any good news today? No strength. Weak. How could you possibly stand? How could you possibly stand if you're that weak? And you know what happens? If frustration leads to fear. Fear makes you act out of character. And all of a sudden, people start falling. I don't think people fall because they're bad people. You think about Abiathar over there with David. You know what? He was with David when Absalom came in and took over and everything. And what happened was, is he finally got himself around the wrong folks long enough. And you know what happened when Solomon took the throne and Abiathar came and he called him on the carpet? He says, "You're worthy to die for what you've done for David. But you stood next to my father and he spared his life." So I don't think just because somebody falls means you negate everything they've done in their past. I don't think, you know what, maybe they just ran out of strength. Maybe they started thinking it was in their own power and in their own might. He said, be strong and in the power of His might. We need to learn how to sit before we're ever going to stand. Not only that, if you look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, we see that in order for you to stand, it's going to dictate on your position of strength, but also on your personal walk. Look in verse number 1 of chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Paul says you need to start walking. Now again, we can't walk in our own power and our own might, but we have to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know this, if your walk, it speaks to your conduct. Your walk speaks to your obedience. And I know this, your walk will affect your stand. Paul knew that. Paul knew that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He realized that his personal walk, when it came to him standing and making a stand for the Lord, his personal walk was going to be something that people look at, and it was going to hinder if it wasn't there. And it would inhibit his stand from being effective. Our personal walk. Romans chapter 14 and verse 22 says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he. This verse bugs me. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. You want to know why some of us don't have the stand we want? Or maybe the stand that we think we have isn't as good as it really is? It's because we're allowing things in our personal walk that have no business there. And what they're doing is they are literally discrediting our stand. I don't know how folks can get in a pulpit and preach certain things and expect people to listen to them. And it's not just preachers. It happens at the coffee table. It happens at the dinner table. It happens all over the place. And their lives don't reflect what they say. A strong stand can be a cover-up for a weak walk. You ever think about that? Folks super dogmatic about everything, and they've got everything down, and this is how it's going to be. And you know what happens? Their lives are a mess. And a strong stand can be the sign of a weak walk. Because here, he gives you the details of how to walk here, practically. He tells you to have your loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Notice how all of those things are personal. They're inward. There's no way that I could look at anybody in this room right now and say, oh, well, you got the armor of God on. I can tell. Hallelujah. You're suited up. Right? There's no way I can tell that. There's not a chance. It's something inward. But yet there's two parts of your walk. There's an inward walk and there's an outward walk. And so much we focus on the outward. And so much we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm all right. I'm doing okay. Right? I got to thinking about folks that stand. You know, Naboth, he was just a farmer boy. And a king of the king Ahab, the great king of the day, comes to Naboth and says, hey, I want your vineyard. Why don't you give it to me? And he says, far be it from me to to give you the inheritance of my Father's. He wasn't asking him something out of bounds, man. He said, hey, I'll give you a better vineyard than it, or I'll give you the worth of it in money. No problem here. He was kind of just in what he was saying. I just like it. It's hard by my palace. I like it to get out in the morning and say, hey, that's mine. And Naboth says, far be it from me. You know, you get that thing down and you wonder, why in the world did he make that stand? Why in the world did he take the stand that he took? It's because he was out there with his daddy and his daddy's daddy in the morning, in the cool of the day, on his hands and knees, pulling weeds and all the things that it takes to get a good crop and to get a good yield. And he's doing those things day after day after day after day. You know what I learned on the farm growing up? You want to know what makes it precious? You want to know what makes a stand have some grit to it? The fact that you appreciate what you have. The fact that it took some work, it took some sweat equity on your part in order to get it. Finally, I'll say this, and I'll get down. In verse number 12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against spiritual rulers of darkness and against this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. A couple things about standing. You need to know who you're standing against. As Doc already said, we're not standing against each other. I think one of the reasons this meeting is such a blessing to folks is because it's a unifying meeting. Amen. And there's no, well, that first part of that camp and that's this, that, and the other, and he follows so and so and he does that. Why? Because that would be standing against one another, and that would be foolish. You know, how about knowing where you're supposed to stand? I realized a long time ago I'm not Dr. Ruckman. I'm not. And guess what? There's certain places that God told him to stand. I'm not required to stand there. David's mighty man, he had a little field of lentils. That was his field. That's why he stood there. If anybody else stood there, they'd be wrong. You need to figure out where God wants you to stand. Proverbs 25 verse 6 says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king and stand not in the place of great men. For better is it that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. I think some of us, we're trying to stand where other people have stood. And there's a reason it's not jiving for you. Because that's not where God wants you to stand. You should know how you're supposed to stand. What does standing look like? I used to think standing was in your face, with my chest out, my voice loud, my finger in your face. I've been around some men now. You know what I realized? Standing looks a whole lot different than that. And I also realize this, you can't stand all the time. Hey, here, gentlemen, stand up. Stand up, don't move, don't back down, don't let anybody tell you. Just stay with the book and you stand here. But when you get out, you know what sometimes you got to do? Just sit, stretch out, walk a little. Anybody ever have a job where you got to stand for a long period of time and not have a whole lot of movement? I was a cashier for a long time when I was younger. It's the worst job in the world. Make you feel like you're 80 years old and you're 15. Like, oh, Lord, my aching back. You know, on my orthopedic shoes when I'm 15 years old. Right? But sometimes our stance is so rigid. You want to know what this meeting does? Because the same way that you stand, right? The reason they say that you have problems when you stand for long periods of time is because there's unnecessary pressure put on your joints and on the arches of your feet. And it causes cramping and it can cause, different pains that shoot up through your shins and all this different stuff. You know what they say the remedy for that is? Support. Some of you, you come from all over the place and you're standing and it seems like you're standing all alone and it seems like nobody's around and your shins are hurting and your joints are aching and your lower back is throbbing. You say, what is so important about this? Could you not be so rigid in your stance where you couldn't just make a small adjustment and allow God to let some folks come in beside you and put some arch supports in your shoes? Could we put down our preferences and all those different things that already have been talked about and say, Lord, I just really need some support because I'm standing, but I'm hurting. I'm hurting. And let some folks come in alongside you. Let God come in and take your shoes off and rub your feet a little bit. Take them thumbs in that arch and just massage it out. I pay my kids to do that for me. You go to their rooms, they got cash for days, man. Put that arch support in your shoes and realize I can stand a little bit longer. But no, you can't stand if you're not strong. And you're not strong if you're trying to do it. And your stand ain't going to be what it should be if your walk ain't right. And if you're standing, don't be so rigid to where God can't give you some support so you can go on. Because you know, if you try to stand too long on your own, the Bible says take heed. Because you're going to set yourself up for a fall.